brain, you're in the nerd's domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Nerd's Domain podcast. This week, we're talking about nerd pop culture relevancy. There we go. I should have come up with that prior to starting the recording.
Probably.
Welcome to Live to Hard Drive. Yay. I'm here with Shirley.
Hello.
Justin.
Hi.
Johnny.
Hey.
And I'm Matt. Hello.
Yay.
So, Johnny, you kind of brought up the topic, so why don't you give us a little introduction?
Okay. So, a few weeks ago, a web cartoonist, whose name is now escaping me, draws Hijinks Ensue. It's kind of a pretty good comic. I follow it sporadically. I saw him post that his daughter was reading Harry Potter for the first time. She is 7, 8, 9 years old. I forget exactly how old. But right in the age where starting Harry Potter makes sense. And he put on his that he would start a father-daughter Harry Potter discussion podcast with his Patreon account at a certain level. I have no idea if he did, and so I don't know where he's at with that. But what this did was it made me think about the relevancy of fandoms, a particular topic, and when they go out of vogue. When they lose their relevancy to the wider audience, because there has not been a Harry Potter specific story in over a decade.
Has it really been a decade?
Not for the movies, but for the books.
For the books, I guess
it's been a decade since the Deathly Hallows came out.
Well, it's been like 4 years since the Deathly Hallows movies came out.
I want to say 2007.
So 7 years.
Seven, wow. I think. Okay. I could be wrong. Yeah. Right. So, I'm not dissing the girl and her father wanting to do a Harry Potter podcast, but it just made me question where does a fandom lose its relevancy? Because it's been so long for Harry Potter, I wasn't immediately drawn into the idea of this podcast. Meanwhile,
even though you do love Harry Potter,
I love Harry Potter, but I don't, there's nothing new in it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there is. Now, the young girl, I don't think she'll offer me anything. The father might have some insights that I might find interesting. I don't know. But my immediate reaction was, I have no interest in listening to that. Then the announcement of, or the premiere of the new Star Wars cartoon, Rebels, Star Wars Rebels happened. And I was all excited about Star Wars. And next year, we're getting Force Awakens.
Is that what the official title is?
Yeah.
I'm avoiding it, honestly. Yeah. I'm avoiding it because I want to be excited when I hit the theater.
Yeah, no, it's called Star Wars The Force Awakens. Episode 9 is intermittently used or not used, depending on where you're at. So again, Harry Potter, a decade old, let's just say. Star Wars, 40 years
almost 40
years old. So I was more excited about Star Wars than I was about this other podcast. And it wasn't the, like, I haven't even watched Rebels yet. I've seen two character pictures. So why is it, what is it about a topic that, or about a fandom that keeps it relevant?
Well, let's start with my first question. Are you looking forward to seeing the newest Hobbit movie?
No.
If it were made right.
I love the Lord of the Rings movies.
Okay.
But I was not thrilled with the first Hobbit movie. I've yet to see the second one. The fact that one book was turned into three movies is another strike against it. Now I did not see the first Hobbit movie on the big screen. I had to wait until it came out on DVD because of my own issues, raising two children and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to the theater. That could be one problem because I love going to the theater and seeing things.
But you were still interested in seeing the Lord of the Rings movies when they came out.
I was.
And you read that book when you were.
I didn't read the Lord of the Rings until Peter Jackson started making the films.
Okay. So
I read The Hobbit when I was 12, 10 or 12.
So 2 or 3 years before the first Lord of the Rings movie book came out, you probably started the books or whatever.
Correct.
which was 50, give or take, years after the books were written.
Right.
So your question is, when is that how it should be?
Yeah.
Or rather, to become a nerd and get your card, and I'm using giant air quotes for that.
Right.
I don't subscribe to that thought process at all.
It's a joke.
You have to have done certain things.
Exactly.
Okay. So, okay.
I think, like, you're talking about the relevancy between Star Wars. One, it's two different genres.
Yeah, I could argue that Star Wars is not science fiction, it's fantasy. Is that what you're saying?
Why wouldn't it be sci-fi?
There's nothing about science in the Force. It's magic.
No, it has to do with physics and chemistry.
No.
Yeah,
it's
physical life entity that's within your body.
You either have the virus or you don't.
Midichlorians.
Yeah, you either have the virus or you don't.
Yeah, I have a certain amount of infection in me, thus I have telekinetic powers. It can move a thing.
So how is that
has no biology.
How is that not chemistry and physics? Because it's a chemical reaction within your body, right?
No, it's not a chemical reaction. Midichlorians are an organism that you can count that live in biological things.
Like a bacterial organism.
Right. So what is it about midichlorians in my body that allows me to pick up a car out there in the parking lot and toss it down the block?
That's a good question.
Magic.
Magic.
No.
That's magic.
What's the difference between your eyesight and Matt's eyesight?
But my eyesight cannot affect Matt's eyesight.
Oh, it'd be cool.
Anything going, Matt and I are 3 feet apart.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from throwing a physical object at him, I cannot affect him right now without, or sound. Sound, I guess.
Okay.
So
Matt, I guess we just have two different perspectives.
We do.
I believe it's all scientific.
Science is about our future. Star Wars happened a long, long time ago, I guess. Far, far away.
There's an argument for sci-fi is supposed to be looking forward.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasy looks back.
Mm-hmm.
And by the intro to Star Wars, it's in a long time ago. And again, it's far, far,
so,
far away.
I mean,
they were more advanced.
Yeah. I can see both arguments in all fairness. Honestly.
Okay, well, that wasn't the point of my
argument. That's the kind of thing.
Totally got
nerds. Oh,
that.
Goodness.
Anyway, so I'm just thinking, like, okay, you're calling it both fantasy. So
I'm fine.
I guess what I'm seeing between these two totally different stories is that Star Wars was made a long time ago and has had that fan base, but it's been ingrained in us where J.K. Rowling just like literally in the blink of an eye, you know, just made this story.
And hasn't made new Harry Potter stuff.
Right.
Harry Potter is no longer involved.
That's what I was about ready to say.
Yeah.
If Rowling was to come out and say, I need more money, I have a better story, Harry Potter 8 is coming out.
Sure.
Next year. Would you be excited for Harry Potter 8?
I would be.
Would you be interested in listening to a podcast that dissected Star Wars 4, 5, and 6?
I don't think I would be, honestly, at this point.
So you're interested in 7 because it's a new thing dealing with the old things.
But at the same time, if Marvel and Disney got together, since now that Disney owns Star Wars, Marvel has a bunch of comics from the 70s that have not been reprinted. I would read those. They fall into the 4, 5, and 6 time frame because I don't remember any of the details.
Would you be interested in rereading the ones you've already read?
I reread Boba Fett, Agent of the Empire, like, annually.
Which isn't even canon.
It's not.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
I'm not even trying to be argumentative, but it's not even officially Star Wars anymore.
It's not.
It's gone, which is another point. They just put out X-Wing. You're interested in playing X-Wing, right?
Yes.
Because Star Wars.
Yes.
Also because you like miniature games, but that's fair.
Right, yeah. Games and Star Wars. I'm in.
Yeah.
Done.
Which also is not canon because they have ships, non-canon ships in there.
But then that also makes it personal.
It does.
So we're counting on, one, there's something that was introduced a long time ago over generations have been ingrained because of its followers at the beginning.
And they keep bringing new relevant things that advance the story.
So I think J.K. Rowling's or the Harry Potter saga, like, it hasn't got to the point where she's like, oh, you know what, maybe I should make a movie or write the book about Harry Potter's family and what happened before and with Snape and all that, because you get the flashbacks in the movie.
Well, and she's actually doing that. There's another book coming out that has nothing to do with Harry Potter himself, but the world.
Yeah. Is that going to rekindle the Harry Potter relevancy?
Well, let me ask you this question. For 14 years, Star Wars did nothing. Well, I take that back. They did
books,
two terrible movies, a terrible cartoon show, and then a terrible, terrible, terrible Halloween or Christmas special.
Right.
From 83 until 97, nothing came out.
Yeah.
But it was still important to you.
But again, I was reading novels. I was reading comics.
I see what you're saying.
So the question, so obviously, if a thing keeps being produced, it'll stay relevant. That's a given. Star Wars proves it. But, like, at what point does a thing not become relevant? For example, do androids dream of electric sheep?
Mm-hmm.
Is Blade Runner, is, you know, 15 other things that I'm not, you know, but two of our compatriots on the Call of Cthulhu podcast that we do, if they were here, would tell me those are totally relevant to being a nerd and a geek because they like the books and they think it's important. But I have seen those stories rehashed in other media. Do I need to read?
I don't even think they've been rehashed. I think they become tropes.
Right.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. I think that's every single time we've ever played Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
We rehashed something about Tolkien.
Totally.
So let me ask you this question. You read The Hobbit when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Why was it relevant? Because it had been decades.
Because I was just getting into D&D.
Okay. I think what I'm seeing is your issue, and you could tell me I'm wrong, is your formative years were spent with Star Wars and The Hobbit, so those are important to you. You were outside of those formative years when Harry Potter came out, so it's not nearly as important. And I could be wrong,
but I
think that's the time when you're influenced so heavily by those things, and that's what hit you.
But what I think you're trying to say, though, is also the people he's targeting the podcast for. Most people who listen to the podcast are typically around our age bracket, not the people who would be.
Don't know. I have no statistics. There are no statistics.
Well, I'm making the statistics right now.
That's fine.
I'll tell you work with statistics.
The perceived audience skews under 40 at this point in time. There are shows on the Frog Pants Network that people would say were people 50 and over write in regularly. Fans of WoW, of World of Warcraft, are over 50 and 60, and they write into Scott Johnson's instance and provide content for that. But I agree with you that the perceived audience of podcasts are under 40, raised on technology, let's say more in the 80s. But again, that's a generalization. I'm not saying it's fact, and it's not, you know. But yeah, that is the perceived audience. Yeah. I agree.
Also, I believe the fan base helps keep things relevant. If you fall out of the fan base, that might be one thing. I love reading Game of Thrones. I read the first one back in 99. And if you're lucky, there's a 6-year gap between books. It just happens. I would have lost interest in it if I hadn't found message boards dissecting every little thing about it. Just a couple months ago, I stumbled across a message board of a guy who's going through his first read through it and posting about his feelings without any spoilers or anything. So it's like being able to relive it. I have no interest in it whatsoever. I fell off of it real quick because it's, like you said, it's from a perspective of somebody who's not really offering anything to the discussion.
Yeah.
He's not even willing to look at the comments of people because he doesn't want it to be spoiled.
Yeah.
Well, and so I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I'm also a huge Star Trek fan. Star Trek, other than two movies, hasn't had a TV show, because you can't count those two movies as far as I'm concerned.
As TV shows?
No, I'm sorry. Let's start over. Star Trek hasn't had a TV show in a decade.
Sure.
2004 was the last year that Enterprise was made. Yeah. Short of two movies, they haven't had anything in a decade for big screen or small screen. You could argue they've had books and all that stuff. That's fine.
Right.
But they haven't had an actual show on TV in a decade. When does that stop being relevant? Because to me, I can go watch Star Trek Enterprise, anything but Voyager and the original series, I can watch it all day long. And the second season of Next Generation.
I think that it stops becoming relevant when the nature of the shows, because even with Star Wars, you see around you in real life not political issues, but the life issues that go on. They have this struggle that they have in Star Wars, Star Trek, Harry Potter. Harry Potter, I think, may become less relevant as you get older because you don't equate yourself with those same struggles in life that you did at one point in time when you really, really were ingrained in the story.
Exactly. Star Trek, the same story.
Star Trek and Star Wars, like, I can sit down and watch, and I'll be like, oh yeah, like, I ran into some Ferengi today, you know?
It's been way more than a decade. Actually, not way more. It's been more than a decade since Firefly's been out.
Right.
Is it still relevant to you? Because we watched it in two episodes last night. I was excited.
It's relevant to me, but I'm saying it's relevant to the broader nerd culture. If you meet a new nerd, if you walk in the door right now, and the guy says, I'm a nerd, and you say, have you watched Firefly? No. Well, I mean, is he immediately...
What are you a nerd about?
If you say, I'm a nerd, I would say, have you watched Firefly? He would say, no. I said, you would enjoy it, watch Firefly.
Okay.
I'm of the opinion that to be a nerd, you develop your culture around you and you alone. You have your own bubble, and sometimes those bubbles push into others and intersect.
Yeah, and that's where you find your friends.
For instance, I have read one book of Game of Thrones and one book of Dresden Files. Does not make me less of a nerd. I have not read Neuromancer. Is that right?
Yeah.
I've not read Neuromancer.
Well, I highly suggest the first few things.
Well, I'm saying Neuromancer is very important to current day, like, internet stuff because it was written way before the internet ever existed and kind of predicted a lot of stuff. Good for them. I've never read it. Does that make me less of a nerd? I have.
Some people would say yes.
I'm missing out.
I have read almost every one of the R.A. Salvatore books, and you have not.
See, I haven't ever cracked the cover.
Does that make you less of a nerd? I would say absolutely not. That means that you have spent your times on your weird, nerdy things, and I've spent my time on my weird, nerdy things, and they just don't happen to intersect in a lot of places. But you can bring yours to the table and say, this is something you should check out. I could say, the books by R.A. Salvatore, you might read the first dozen or so, and they're probably worth it. After that, it gets a little monotonous.
And I think that's where it brings the relevancy in, too, because... Like the fan base of Star Wars and Star Trek, they've been around for a good zillion years, and it's just generationally passed down.
I think there is a culture
so passed along
within some of the older nerds, and it's this way because they were alone for so long that if you didn't read it in, to quote another podcast, the original issues, you don't matter. I think that mindset has to go away, and I think that's part of what you're looking at. It doesn't work for you, but you're not saying it shouldn't work for somebody else.
Exactly.
There are others that say, well, it doesn't work for me, so it shouldn't work for you, or it does work for me, so it has to work for you, or you're not as important.
Those are the elitists. We don't listen to that.
Actually, I honestly, for so long, nerds didn't have a way to connect with other people. We didn't have the internet. None of our stuff was important to anyone. We didn't have Marvel movies coming to the big screen. Batman was 89. Between 67 and 89, that's how long it took for a second for another look at Batman on the big or small screen. There was such a long time where nerds didn't have a voice that they didn't feel like they could trust other people who hadn't seen their things. They felt like they were going to be made fun of, and it developed this very cynical society of nerds. And so now we have to break that down. And I can say to normal people, we talked to your brother today. I was like, he's like, what game are you guys playing? We're playing Firefly. This looks like a game I might be interested in. And my first thought was, this might be a little much for you because it's outside of where you normally are. But that's not fair. Because he loves Risk. This is not Risk.
It's Nerdist.
But that
Gamist?
Yeah.
That
elitist. Yeah. But this is still something I went, have you seen Firefly? Nope. Well, you should. If this interests you at all, if the things I'm about to tell you about space cowboys, it seems like something you want to watch, then check you should go check it out. Yeah. And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
But just for the listeners, what is it? Why would you say that about her brother? Or what? How would you describe your brother?
My brother is a
amateur power lift or bodybuilder.
Yeah, he's an amateur bodybuilder. He very much spends all of his time in the gym. He is a, I guess it's a security guard. He works at the federal building.
He's big into cars and bikes.
No.
He's into bikes.
He has a bike. He likes his bike. He's big into going to the gym, bodybuilding, and his gun.
Yeah.
Because that's part of his job.
So does he follow sports? A lot or what?
He follows some football, but he really loves Call of Duty. He loves Risk.
Yeah.
So I think
there are definitely inroads there. It's a Firefly game.
We played Penny Arcade and he's like, when can we play it again?
Yeah.
So he really likes
it. And I think that there's such a weird gamut of involvement or potential involvement for anyone. Bananagrams, you play with your sisters. I would play Bananagrams with you guys too.
I like spelling games.
That's fair. But it's still something that hardcore gamers could play and enjoy.
Yeah.
Whereas your sister is not a hardcore gamer at all.
No.
She's about the farthest thing from a hardcore gamer,
She's
but I can still bridge that
very
gap.
Very traditional Monopoly, Life, Bananagrams, sometimes Phase 10. Like, we were playing Spot It with her and it was like way too much.
Yeah.
So. See, at Christmas table, we always used to play Monopoly Risk, and it would break into fights. It would literally, my family was. I'm a competitive gamer because my family's a competitive
Risk, and my father and my uncle, it would be like.
They both get up and pace back and forth as they play. It's so intense.
Crazy.
Wow. They refused to play the other game because they were afraid that they would take that away. And I've got to play apples, things like that. Now we don't play Risk anymore. We play apples and apples. Aggressive.
Yeah, it's more fun and party involved. I think I get your point, but as we were just talking, we're going to do a podcast. Do you have any interest in that podcast? I don't want to spoil what that is, because this is exactly along the same lines. We're going to take something that hasn't been relevant or potentially could not have been relevant for a while, and we're going to sit and talk about it. Does that interest you? You can hurt my feelings. Go ahead.
Well, because of the, the particular fandom being considered, yes. But again, that's my personal choice.
See, I'm just the opposite. I think it's really good, but I don't like the subject.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, okay. But again, that subject is available through at least one avenue in its entirety. Anybody could easily get into
this
right now. Whereas, again, you know, like Blade Runner, in order to watch Blade Runner, I'd have to go probably to iTunes or Amazon.
That's actually on Netflix, I think, right now. It was on Netflix or Amazon because we watched it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, yeah, but I get what you're saying.
They have the narration.
No. So here's,
some things are harder to find, right? And, you know.
Yeah. Well, and so X-Men, Days of Future Past just came out.
On DVD?
Yeah. DVD. No, it's coming out because I wanted to get that.
Because I hate it, right?
Have you not seen it?
I missed it.
Well, you're not a nerd. I'm going to need your card. No, I'm kidding. Honestly, I really enjoyed your, again, you didn't like Pacific Rim. Your opinion here does not hold weight. Sorry.
I don't like this.
You don't like what?
I didn't know any about any of the superpowered people at the start of the film.
So you know what? That's fair. Johnny will know those people.
Yeah, and
actually, will know probably as much, if not more than I do.
First Class or
Days
of Future Past. Like you know Bishop and Blink and Sunspot are, and you'll go, ooh, just like I did when we walked in late because people couldn't show up on time to the movie. and I let everybody else go in. I was the only actual hardcore X-Men fan there. And I had to wait for the other person because that's what you do sometimes. Anyway, so the beginning of that movie, you're going to really enjoy. You're going to, ooh, ooh. And even if you don't like the story, you're at least going to get those references, which Jesse didn't. I get that. That's fair. However, can I seriously say to all those people in the theater, well, you didn't read the original Days of Future Past with Wolverine and
Shadowcat.
Ariel. She was Ariel at the time. It's on the poster behind her.
Oh, okay.
So you can't really say you're a fan here. Like, I'm not going to ever say that because, one, the more fans we have, the more people in that theater, the more likely the next movie will get made.
We had Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which was awesome. Have you yet seen that?
You seen the stats on that movie? The biggest grossing, almost the biggest grossing movie.
It broke what they consider to be the summer. Because summer movies end around July 4th, and everything after that is kind of it. There's been a couple that have been like mid or late July, like Dark Knight or Dark Knight Rises, that have made good money. This was the first week of August, and nothing should make money then. Rule of thumb is.
And if it came out earlier, I would have won the draft.
You can still see it in the movie theater. Yeah. I mean, that's how good it was. I mean, it was good. So
I need to see it again. I had it. I had distractions.
So oh, yeah. No, that's fair. It's myself. So good. So I think to my answer, and maybe I think Shirley and Desi, you can give me your answer as well. My answer to your question is this relevant? Depends. Is it relevant to you? For you? No, it's not relevant. But to that other Harry Potter person who grew up with Harry Potter, and I think that for me is the key. I grew up with like Dragonlance, and I grew up with Star Wars. So those are the things that matter to me. I will, if you sit me down, even though we run Call of Cthulhu, if you sit me down and say, we're going to play a role playing game, choose one, I'd say D&D. Every time. I'd say some form of sword and sorcery. Love Call of Cthulhu. I think the stories it tells are fantastic. I love Shadowrun. I think the stories there are potentially fantastic as well. But Dungeons and Dragons is really like the core of what I want to do because that is what I grew up on. If you said you want to play a Harry Potter game, I'd be like, yeah, sure. But that's not the first choice I make. I know. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. I think that could be a lot of fun. But that's not the first game you want to run, is it?
At this point in my life, I would run anything anytime if I had the time to run it. Because I would run that game in Fate, and that would be amazing.
We can play Pokemon in Fate.
Totally can.
So I think that's, for me, is does it fit inside your nerd bubble? And if it does, great. If it doesn't, it does somebody's. Oh, well, you know, it does somebody's because it fits in that artist and his daughter's bubble. Right. That's their bubble. They're perfectly fine to have that. Shirley and I've introduced her to a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's introduced me to some nerdy things, too. She just doesn't really realize it.
Keep that in mind. The point that I wanted to make earlier was that I think what is culturally relevant in the time is it has a lot to do with media. It's like, you know, Josh Whedon picked up
Joss.
I didn't say Josh. I said Joss. Joss Whedon picked up who did Star Trek? Redid Star Trek.
J.J.
Abrams. Oh my gosh, I get those two mixed up all the time. Don't ask me why. J.J. Abrams picked up Star Trek to reboot the line, and that made Star Trek relevant, but it didn't make it relevant just to who it mattered to the first season of the original Star Trek. It made it relevant to a lot more people. So it's all, I think it has a lot to do with, you know, who reboots those systems. You know, does it come out in the movies? Is it Paramount that says, oh, this is relevant again because we're going to make it again? Or what print, you know, are they rebooting prints of certain comics? Oh, this is relevant again because we're printing it again. So I think that has a lot to do with lending to the relevancy.
Well, and I think the turnaround of that, and I'm not trying to just be argumentative, but no. I am going to be argumentative.
Yeah, you are.
Because Disney just told us that all of the expanding the universe is no longer relevant for Star Wars. That means Green Bunnies are out. Until they say otherwise.
Green Bunnies.
In the 1977 Star Trek comic book.
Star Wars.
Good call. Star Wars comic book, they introduced a green rabbit. A green human-sized rabbit.
I didn't say Wookiee-sized.
Wookiee-sized rabbit. Fair enough. But you know how we've been playing X-Wing lately and you've been playing the TIE Defender?
Yes.
That doesn't exist in Star Wars now.
What?
That's expanded universe. It does not exist in the Star Wars canon.
Oh, so, okay.
They invalidated everything that is not part of that canon and made it, quote-unquote, irrelevant. So what you're saying is the powers that be have, I think, part of that power. I would honestly say the fans have the same amount of power, too.
Right, but I'm talking about, like, okay, I see where you're
going. Yeah, yeah.
But when things are rebooted or a different universe is introduced, it does not negate the relevancy to a small niche of people of the Green Bunny, you know? That doesn't make the Green Bunny any less relevant. It just makes, you know, there's a brand there. And when you hear Star Trek, I think original season. I think TNG. I think, you know, Nine. So it's a whole new universe that never existed before, but it still brings up all of those other things that I relate Star Trek to.
Oh, that's fair. Well, and when you say Star Trek, you think the original series first.
Yeah.
When I think of Star Trek, I honestly think of Picard first.
It also depends on when you grew up.
Yeah. And I think that Star Trek is one of those things that's very important that way, because I didn't really get into Star Trek and really watching it until Deep Space Nine. That's what I really wished I could have watched it as it came out. But the original series, I still have yet to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, take my nerd card for that, right?
Right.
And I'm thinking, like, when did Doctor Who become relevant? Because it's been around as long as Star Trek,
that,
right?
That was longer.
Longer, yeah.
62?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and that has creepy, weird following for the first 40 years. I mean, it was literally at the comic book store in Columbus.
Yeah.
They used to once a month have guys that just came in to watch old Doctor Who.
That's one of the things that made me enough.
Yeah, because they were creepy old dudes, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but they were, do you remember, we watched the South Park World of Warcraft episode where it was the really fat guy playing against the four kids, and he was all fat and kind of weird and had that half-grown beard.
I probably blocked that out because I don't like South Park.
That guy. It was the guy that says things like, well, if you didn't read it in the original issues.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these were like weird dudes.
Die Hard, Doctor Who.
And I'm weird, and when they creep me out because they're weird, that's...
They would say those of us who just like the new ones are not Doctor Who fans.
Yeah. Yeah, if you haven't watched all 685 episodes prior to season 9.
See, but, and then that's another right there that lends to relevancy. It's relevant to them, but they're trying to dictate what's relevant to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go off your whole, doing the whole reboot to rejuvenate things.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't always work out. I've never been into Marvel. But I stumbled across an issue of Civil War. I absolutely fell in love with it. It was a great story arc. Everything was great. I became a Marvel fan. I even started looking at some of the older issues of Marvel and getting into it. Then, 5 issues after it, they made everything. Just, they fixed everything. Civil War never really happened.
Yeah, it was more like a year after. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
And I honestly had felt like I had just wasted my entire time reading. What I read. And I had enjoyed it up until that point. And I still, right now, I can't explain why I felt like I wasted my time. I enjoyed the time I had with it.
It's because you invested yourself in that storyline, and that storyline suddenly didn't matter to the rest of the story.
That's very likely.
Yeah. I'm with you. I've had that same problem. Like, they did the Avengers versus X-Men a couple of years ago, and now it's starting to not matter again. And I'm like, but this was a big deal, and there was a whole thing here, and it even harkened back to the Civil War feeling.
Yeah.
And now it doesn't matter anymore. What? That doesn't make any sense to me. So I don't know. I'm with you on that. But I think if it's rebooted correctly with enough, well, you look at Spider-Man, the Spider-Man movies. We had 3 movies.
Yeah.
Not necessarily all 3 of them were good. And then less than a decade later, we have 2 new movies that still did just fine. So is that relevant? Is that a proper reboot?
Possibly. And see, everybody's all excited about the new rumors about the Captain America movie being taken elements from Civil War.
No, but that's not rumors. They've said it is.
I'm not looking forward to it.
I
just don't think it's something happening. But anyway, back to what we were talking about originally.
Because we don't do
with this guy and his daughter doing the podcasting, I think it's great. I am worried about him building up her hope for a goal that's not going to be reached, because I don't know if that's going to be relevant enough for enough people to support the cause. And I just looked it up, he has lowered the target number
Well, and here's the thing. Podcasts are listened to, I assume, by zero people.
Yeah.
I assume that no one is listening right now. And then when I find out otherwise and look at our stats, I'm excited. Yeah. So if you go into it with that mindset, that's great. Like, I'm happy to have all the listeners we have. I talk to you guys because I like talking to you guys. If we happen to put a mic in the middle of the table, that's why it's there.
Yeah.
So, and I think, like, I'm excited when I hear people talk about the things that they like or have discussions. Like you mentioned this podcast that might happen. I would like to listen to it a couple episodes because.
And review it for the website.
Huh?
And review it for the website.
And review it for the website, I guess. Johnny, because I, like, if you sit around, I'm a listener. If you sit around and listen to some of the children today and how they talk and the imagination that they have and the ideas that come across their minds that have never come across, you know, inventions and things like that that I've never come across or had an idea before in the history of the world, I'm just thinking maybe this little girl is going to offer some kind of insight that because she has a unique perspective on it that maybe hadn't been thought of before.
It's also possible.
So I like kids.
Well, it's also possible, Johnny, that she ignites in you a childlike view of it because you read it as an adult.
Yes.
And so she could bring a child's eyes to the whole story, and that would be might be different and new for you.
But that's well, my
potentially
could be, but I'm very childlike in my mind, so. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. But you get what I'm saying.
I get
yeah,
what
yeah.
you're saying. As,
no, that's fair. So,
let's boil it down to what everybody seems to be saying is there is no end to relevancy in the personal scope, and there should be no end relevancy because
there is no forced relevancy.
Yeah.
And I think it's yes, but I also think there's a level of relevancy. You have personal relevancy, you have cultural relevancy, you have industry relevancy.
But again, those all come from I would say that those all come from personal relevancy.
Right.
J.J. Abrams loves Star Trek. Yeah, that's why he was able to get it rebooted because he did.
It's much like Star Wars. Well,
I would be hard pressed to choose. And so anyway, the reason Lord of the Rings got turned into a book 50 years after it was turned into three movies 50 years after it was published is because somebody was a nerd for that subject.
Yeah.
And, you know, found other nerds who were in the right positions to get it made. Now the whole world is a nerd for Lord of the Rings. Right. You know.
So I guess it does boil down to personal relevance.
Yeah. So there's, at the core, there's a person who likes it. Yeah. And you can't say that something isn't relevant just because it's not relevant to you.
Yeah, right. And I think that's why, to quote the same podcast again, your mileage may vary on almost everything.
Yeah.
Like, I think Firefly is amazing. I know friends of mine that are like, I really couldn't get into it. I don't like the writing. Well, they're wrong. For me, they're wrong. Just like Jesse doesn't like Pacific Rim, and I know I give him a lot of grief about it, but for him, it wasn't good. I think it was fantastic, and I loved it. Our mileage definitely is different. But that doesn't mean that he's wrong for not enjoying it. Clearly he's wrong. But that doesn't mean that, honestly, it doesn't mean that he's actually wrong for not enjoying it. It means that for him, it doesn't apply the same way as it does for me.
Right.
So. All right. We talked that episode out. All right on. Hey. So you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. You can go over to patreon.com and look at that guy's stuff. And then come over to our Patreon and support us. It's patreon.com/nerdsdomain. You can go over our website and sign up for the newsletter. That's at nerdsdom.com. It'll be on the right-hand side. And you should keep your ears open because we have a couple other podcasts. Let's tell you about those real quick. We do Masks of Nyarlathotep. That is a Call of Cthulhu playthrough of an RPG. There are seven of us on it. We have a great time. I get to kill and maim the players, and they get to cry and bleed everywhere while we play through. And then we just split our Kickstarter podcast off into its own thing. It's now called Go Fund This, with amazing music from Jarby McCoy that we found. Jarby's been very, very generous in letting us use that, and we really appreciate that. But that's its own podcast feed now, and you should check that out on iTunes. And otherwise, you can find our shirts over at /loop, and we will talk to you guys real soon.
This has been a production of the Omega Nerds Network, the network where it's on.